Okay, today's daf is Sanhedrin Memtes, and we'll pick it up at the very top with Asui Liyoav. Well, we just finished off yesterday. The daf on Shabbos had said that the popular saying was that Tehe Luta Velo Tehe Lota. That's better to be one who is cursed and not the one who's giving out the curses. Okay, starts thinking about the next part. Going back to with Yoav. Asui Liyoav Dainei. So they brought Yoav before Shlomo HaMelech and they judged him. Amalei Mai Taima Katalei LaAvner. What's the reason, Yoav, why you killed Avner? So Amalei, so Yoav said back, the reason was Goel Hadam the Asoil Havoi. I am the Goel Hadam, right? Avner killed my brothers, therefore I'm the Goel Hadam. Asoil Rodef Havoi. So Asoil was a Rodef. Right, he was rodif on Avner. So Amalei Hailo Lahatzilu Be'echa Me'Evorov. Really, even though you killed him in an act of self-defense, you didn't have to. You know, Yoav was saying that he could have killed him by just getting him in one of the limbs. So Amalei, so Shlomo says, Lo Yochile. No, Avner really wasn't able to just hurt Soil, right? He had to kill him. So Amalei, Hash to Bedoifin Hachamishis Kivin Le. Really, one second. Avner was such a sharp shooter who was able to hit him in the fifth rib. Dechsev, as the pasuk says in Shmuel Beis, Ve'akehu Avner be'echod. I'm sorry, be'acharei ha'chonis el chomesh. Right, he hit him with his spear in the place of chomesh. Right, Amar of Yochanan be'doifin chamishis. That means the fifth rib. Be'makom shemora ve'chove tuluyim bo. The place where his gallbladder and the liver are. So if he could do this, in other words, he was such a precise aim that he could get him exactly where he needed to, be'echav evar of lo yochle. So, you know, Avner couldn't have only just hit one of his limbs. So Amalei, so this is what Shlomo says back to Yoav. No, Nezel Avner, you know, one second. Let's move away from Avner for a minute, because you're saying, well, my time with the katle la'am asa was the reason why he killed Amasa. Amalei Amosa Mori B'Malchus Havei, because I was like I killed Amosa, he rebelled, he was a Mori B'Malchus, right? He was Chayiv Misa for that. Dichziv Ayomer Hamelech La Amosa Hezek Li Es Haish Yehuda Shoshes Yomim, right? Get me the people from Yehuda for 3 days, and I want you to be here, right? Vayelech Amosa La. So he came, but he was a little bit late than when he told him to come. So Amr Lei, so Shlomo saying, Amasa Akin Virakin Dorosh. Really, Amasa had a whole limud, he had a svar and a lumdus as to why he was darshing the ach and the rak. So let's explain what it means. That anytime you have an ach or a rak, it comes to be mamayit and it comes to lessen something. So Amasa was darshaning in order to lessen the amount of authority that the melech had, right? How do you work this out? So ashkechinhu defsiach lehu b'masechta. It was the time when they were starting a new masechta. It was a new limud, a new zman. So Amr Kesiv, it says like this: Kol ish asher yamre es pichol velo yishma es dvarecha. Right, the beginning of first parak in Yehoshua, he says, anybody who's not going to listen to you is not going to follow you, so you must, he has to die. So Yochel, I would think, Vahav min would be afil divrei Torah, meaning you would think that the Melech near has unlimited power. So if the Melech tells you that you shouldn't be learning Torah, then you would also have to listen to him. So Tam Loma, no, comes to correct and say, Rak is limiting Chazak ve'ematz. You should restrict the king's authority, right? In other words, if the king tells you to do something that's against the Torah, you don't listen to him. The Rambam brings this down, actually, in Hilchos Malachim, in Perek Gimel, Halacha Tes, so you don't listen to the melech in order to keep mitzvos. Afilu mitzvah kala hareza poter. So even on a light mitzvah, divrei harav v'divrei ha'eved, divrei harav koymin ve'ein sorich lomra im gozer ha'melech levatel mitzvah ein shangin lo. So it's this idea that the melech is really just a function of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if he tells you to do something goes against the Hashem, so then obviously we're not going to listen. So it comes out, Masiyah was justified when he didn't get the people of Yehuda together at the right time, and therefore you had no right to kill him. That's what Shlomo is saying. You had no right to kill him. Ella, Hahu Gavra, really it's like this, meaning Yoav, Mori B'Malchus Havei. Yoav was the Moray b'Malchus. Tichsiv, as the Pasuk says in Malachim Aleph. V'ha Shemua bo'a ad Yoav, ki Yoav noto achrei Adonio, v'yachrei Avshalom lo noto. So Yoav was following Adonyahu, but he was not following Avshalom, right? And therefore, that's why how he was rebelling against Shlomo, who was the real Melech, right? So my lo noto, what does it mean when it says that he didn't incline, he didn't follow him? So Amar of Yehuda shebikesh lintois v'lo noto. Really, he wanted, Yoav wanted to follow Avshalom, but lemaisa he didn't. My time lo noto. So what was the reason that Yoav didn't follow Avshalom? So Amar Rabbi Lazar. Adayin lichluchis shel David kayemes. So when Avshalom was rebelling against David, he was still in full strength, and so therefore Yoav was afraid of him. The Yad Ramah has beautifully says, "My time alonoto, right? Amar Blazer adayin lichluchis gevura shel David kayemes. He was strong. Yesh lefarsh adayin lichluchis chasto shel David shehayegoim lo liyoav kayemes." That he had feelings of appreciation for him because he was so kind to him, and he made him the head of the army. So therefore, he had this feeling of Hakar Satov, and therefore that's why he didn't want to. That's one way, is that it's just he's strong. Okay, so but the other hand is that there was a certain personal relationship there, and that's why Yoav didn't want to rebel against David. Okay, continues the Gemara. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Amar, Adayin, it's Tagnine shel David Kayanin, that the stars were still positively aligned for David. The Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, Arba Meos Yolodim, Hayelol David. That we saw this Gemara earlier that David had 400 children, Kulan Bnei Yifas Tor Hayu, again from yesterday's parsha of Yifas Tor. So these were all the women that David had conquered through his military victories. Umagali Beluris Hayu, they had this special like non-Jewish type of hairstyle. Mahalchim Beroshe Hagiasos Hayu, and they would go in the front of the armies. The Hein Bali Egroifin Shel David. These were the strong-armed people, the enforcers of David's of army. So he had such a strong koach here. I think, I don't know if we said it over then, but the Ben Yehoyada explains that this was a fear tactic. And it was look at how strong David was. He defeated all these armies. The Harai has gone to war, and he has 400 kids from all these women. Therefore, that was a part of the strength, a tangible display of David HaMelech and his military might. Upligi, right? All things who are saying all these things about Yoav with a negative spin. Pligi de Rebbe Abba Bar Kahana. To Om Rebbe Abba Bar Kahana, Ilmale David. If it hadn't been for David, lo also Yoav no choma. Then if David hadn't been learning, then Yoav would not have been able to be successful in his milchoma. The Ilmale Yoav, if it hadn't been for Yoav being successful in his wars, lo also Yoav bitor, then David wouldn't have been able to sit and learn. Dechsiv, the Pasuk says, Shmu Beis. So David was doing mishpat and tzedakah for everybody, and Yoav was running the army. Matam David oisei tzedakah. I'm sorry, matam David oisei mishpat utzedakah lecholamo. What was the reason why David was be able to judge righteously? Mishum de Yoav al hatzava, because Yoav was fighting. Umatam Yoav al hatzava, and why was Yoav able to be matzliach? Mishum de David oisei mishpat utzedakah lecholamo, because David was learning. Now do you see here they had a very symbiotic relationship between David and Yoav. That's different because before we were saying that Yoav was not such a positive individual, but here we're saying, look at this wonderful learning in the warrior together. Reminds me of the comment that the Reb Shimshon Fal Hirsch has, that really, if Esav would have stayed, we'll call it in the fold, then there would have been a tremendous tag team, a tremendous partnership between Yaakov, the learner, and Esav, the warrior. So too you have here, again, we're not comparing Esav and Yoav, we're just saying that idea of having the two facets complementing each other. Okay, Vayetze Yoav Me'im David V'yishlach Malachim Achrei Avner V'yashiva Oso Mibor Hasira. So Yoav went away from David, and he sent the messengers to Avner, and they brought him back from Bor Hasira. Samura asks, "My bor hasira, What is Bor Asira? So Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, Bor Vesira Garmu Lo La'avner Sheyehorig. It was this Bor, which is like the well, and the thorn, the seer, which is what caused Avner to be killed. So what does that mean exactly? Rashi says, Bor Vesira Garmu Lo La'avner Sheyehorig. Bor, the water. Sapachas Mayim Shalakach David Miroshos Shel Sha'o Kishahaya Yoshein B'Magal. So when Shaul was asleep, David took the water from him, right? David said, look, B'nei Movis Atem, you guys are Chayv Misa, Shlo Shemartim Es Adonaychem. You weren't really protecting Shaul, your master. Shekevar Hayisi Yochel Hargo. I could have killed him if I wanted to. I just took the water, but I could have taken his life, right? Ru'u, Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, Ru'u no, Eifo Chonis HaMelech Ve'eye Tzapach HaSamayim. Look, I have his spear, I have his water, I took these from him. So now at that point, Haylo La'avner Limchos B'Sha'ol Lo'imelo, Avner should have spoken up. He should have, you know, been a peace broker and said, look, look what a tzaddik David is. He didn't kill you. He could have killed you. Velomicha, he didn't. He didn't speak about how righteous David was. El Amar Rally Fakir. He says Shem Echa Mibnei Hatzava Nasam Lo. Maybe one of the guys in the army just gave it to David. It's no right that he could have killed you. Maybe he just got it from somebody else. Yes, that's the water in your spear. But who says that he had the opportunity to kill you? So that was the engine. That's the boar. That's what Avner should have said. Vesira koitz, kishikaras David es kenaf mi'ilo shal Shaul b'maro. When Shaul was in the cave, and David cut off a corner of his cloak, right? So hayalo la'avner l'lamed zuchusal David. So again, he should have judged him favorably. V'loim l'shal. And he could have said to Shaul, re'e, look, kama chasalecha v'lo haragcha b'yosu yachad imo b'maro. You guys were alone together, and he could have killed you. He didn't kill you. He had your life. He had your life in his hands. He didn't kill you. V'loli mitzuchus. But Avner didn't do that. El Amr, he said, Shemekisha avartem eitzel hakoitzim v'hasirim nichnas echad min hakoitzim b'knaf mi'ilcho. Maybe you're walking past a bunch of thorns, and one of the thorns stuck out, and that's where your cloak got torn on. V'hu hayetomun sham. David was hiding over there, right? And then he cut it off. But really, there's no riot. So that's what the Gemara is saying over here. That really, Bor Vesira Gar Mulo La'avner Sheharig, because he wasn't down the Kafsachus. Again, then the pasuk says, back inside, V'yatehu Yoav El Tocha Shar L'daber Ito Basheli. So Yoav took him over to the gate. He wanted to speak to him quietly. Basheli. Omer Rav Yochanan Shidonu Din Sanhedri. They were going to din, like, judge him by the halacha of the Sanhedrin. Amalei, my time katel asoya. What's the reason he killed a soya? Asol rodif havi. Hiya, he was a rodif. He was going to come to kill me. Hiya lechal hatzil ve'echa me'evarav. So you should have just shot him in the foot. You don't have to kill him. Lo yachile, wasn't able to. One second. Hash to bedoifin chamishis kavan tolei. You were able to hit in the fifth rib. Right, be'echem yevarav lo yochle. You couldn't just shoot him there, right there. So l'daber ito b'sheli. So one was like, what does this mean? They wanted to speak privately. Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Rav al iske shalu. Really, they wanted to speak to him in a way of shalu, deception. Vayakehu sham el chomish. Right. So he hit him there with the in the chomish. He hit him in the fifth rib where the gallbladder and the liver are there. V'heishiv Hashem esdamo al rosho asher poga b'shnei anoshim tzadikim toivim imenu. So Shlomo says to Ben Yehoyada about Yoav that Hashem is going to bring back the blood upon his head because he killed people who were bigger tzadikim than he was. What does this mean? Tovim shahayadorshin achim v'rachnim v'hu lo dorsh. They were good because they made the drushas of an ach and a rach to be memayit, again, as we said over the restricted the amount of authority the king had. Tzadikim, they were righteous. Shehem bepeh v'lo osu, hu be'igeres osu. So they were more righteous by Yoav. They had oral instructions from Shaul to kill out the Kohanim in Noiv, and they didn't do so. Where Yoav was told by David in a letter to kill Uriah, and he did do so. Va'amaso lo nishmar becherev asher biyad Yoav. Right? He didn't use the sword that was in Yoav's hand. Amar Rav shelo chashadu, because he didn't think that that Yoav was actually capable of killing him. It wasn't choshed him. Va'yikaver bebeiso b'midbar. So when it talks about Yoav, it says in Amalachim Aleph that he was buried bebeiso in his house b'midbar, in the midbar, in the wilderness. So at the base of midbar, who? What, he lived in the midbar? So Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says like this, Ka midbar. No, his house was like a midbar. How so? Ma midbar mufkar lakol. Just like the midbar is hafker, it's completely ownless. So af beso shel Yoav mufkar lakol. That he was, it was open. You know, Yoav could let people come into his house and everybody could eat there. Dover acher, ka midbar. Another pshat, what it means, that his house was like a midbar. Ma midbar minuke migozom uve arayis. Just like there's no theft and there's no arayis in the midbar. Af beso shel Yoav minuke migozom uve arayis. That there was no theft in his house or not. So we just quoted Ben Yehoyada. We'll see what the Ben Yehoyada has on this. He says a nice idea. Ma midbar benuke migezel v'arayis, right, the midbar, pirush. The midbar, kol peris shenimtzim sham hefker ve'im behem gezel. So anything that grows in the desert, fruits or stuff like that, it's ownerless. So you can't steal there. Gam arayis leka, and there is no arayis in the desert. Why not? Ki midbar makom sakon, because your life is in danger. And when your life is in danger, you're not thinking about those types of things. V'ahochim bo, people are walking through makom sakona. Right? Lo yisoru b'tayves shel znus. They don't have any tayves for these types of things. So therefore, just like there's no gezel because everything is hefker, and just like there's no arayas because it's not on a person's mind, they're more concerned with saving their own skin. So he writes, Kain beso shel Yoav menuke migezel mirayas. That's like the house of Yoav. Kolomer means as follows. Sheyoav einu motzi b'beso. He wasn't at home. So to take, he was out fighting, but he was, you know, doing his career service in the military. Ella kol yamav b'machamos, he was fighting wars his whole life. Im kolze, despite that, b'nei beiso tzadikim shmor migezel v'arayis. The people in his house, even though he wasn't there to physically oversee them, they kept it. Right? Then the Gemara ends off the parak. V'yov yichaye es sha'ar ha'ir, that he would have the sha'ar ha'ir, meaning that the way the Marashah explains that he wouldn't even have like shirayim by himself. He would give those out to make sure that everybody, he would distribute even the leftovers to the poor people. Amar Yehuda afilu monine v'tzachanoso toim paris luhu. He would even give him these types of fish. So the word monine, the going way is mei, Nune, right? May is water, nune fish. Nun is an Aramaic for fish. So these type of fish brine that he would give them. So therefore, people were not lacking anything. Hadin lach nigmar hadin, right? So this was the end of the sixth parak, which discussed started off with skila and the different reasons why out of the four different misos based in its skila, either maybe according to one opinion, it's the most severe of all the different misos, or perhaps another reason because it has the most complicated dinim. But a lot in this parak, we talked about kavura, which is that for hespedim, what's the reason why we give all these things. And then with that, we'll start now the next parak, right? The Amud Beis is arba misos. So this parak is going to be discussing, as it sounds, like the different types of misas based in. Says the brand new parak, the next Mishnah, arba misas nimsaru levastin. There are four types of death penalties that are given over: skila, stoning; sreifa, burning; hereg is believe killing by the sword, by being decapitated; v'chenek, and being strangled. Reb Shimon Omer, Reb Shimon gives a different offer: sreifa, burning; skila, stoning; chenek, v'herev, being strangled and then killed with a sword. Zu mitzvahs haniskolin. So this is the mitzvah. What we're going to talk about is of being stoned. So the Yerushalmi has an interesting. What does it mean when it says Arba Misas Nimsu LeBeis Din? Because a Beis Din is allowed to only do these four types. But a melech, he only gets one. The melech is only allowed to do hereg, right? Only to kill with the sword. Says the Gemara. Now we're going to work out Rav Huna's statement. So it's important to get this straight. Wherever there is a minyan, a numbering in a list, that there's no real significance to the order with the exception of these seven samonim, these different types of substances. We'll have to explain what this is. Maybe with the introduction, that sometimes when they would see a red stain in a garment, they couldn't tell whether it was dam or not, right? So the Mishnah says in Nida, Zan, Shiva Samonim Ma'aviran al Hakesim. There were seven types of abrasive substances that they used to put on the kesim, on the stain, in order to find out whether it was really dam, and that would make her tame, or whether it was just a different thing, and therefore she'd be tahara. So rok tovil, like a type of spit, tovil is like someone who hasn't yet had anything to eat yet in the morning. Umei grisin, that's a type of like grits. Miraglayim is urine. The neser is natural, and boris is lye. Kimulia is a type of earth, and the ashlach is potash, is the translation. So if they would put these, they put these on, but it had to be in this order, right? Let me just finish. For Kitani Sefer, the Haviron Shaloka Sidron, if you put them on, not the seven in that order, O Shehaviron Shivoson Ke'achod, or you poured all seven at the exact same time, but also the Loklun, that it really didn't, doesn't accomplish anything. So Rashi says, about 10 lines down, would get skinny. Ma'aviren al hakesim levodko, to be bodiket, to examine it. Im dam nidahu, is this really dam nida now? Ulatame tahara shenogabahen. If it is, so then now I have to go back and make everything that she touched tame. Otsevahu, maybe it's just a dye, right? It's red, but it's not dam, right? Lataros toros, and any of the taharos that she did were fine. Veim over be'elu sheva samamonim. If you pour on these seven in order, and again it comes away, so no, it was dam. If it didn't go away, then we know that it was just a fact of coloring. So that's according to Rashi. Tosfos, the second Tosfos on the daf, says, Rabbeinu Tam is a different shot. Even if we know that this is already dam nido, afal gab, the mitame loch v'yovish, it's going to be mitame both wet and dry. Kivin de ein oiver al yidei zayin samonim bot of a tohor, right? Tanya Rabbi Chiya, dam nido vaday ma'avir alav shiva samonim umvatlo. So according to the Rabbeinu Tam, that we know this is definitely dam. The whole purpose of why we're putting on these seven chemicals, whatever it is, substances, is to take off the dam, so it could be halachically, it's only the color of dam, but it would not necessarily give off the actual tumah itself. Okay, Rav Papa, Saba, Mishmei Duravam, or Af Arba Misos, even these Dalad Misos, Midukab Mafli, Rabbi Shimon, Shma Mino, Davka Kitani. So you see from the fact that Rabbi Shimon argued and gave it in a different order, so no, it is specifically here. Ve'idach, ay, Rav Huna, you didn't include this, so what are you going to do? So he says, be'plugto lo kamayri. When if there's Mishnayis, where there's an argument about that, say he's not counting those up in his cheshbon as to what they are. Rav Papa, Amar, af seder yuma. Rav Papa says that even by the avoida on Yom Kippur, so too, that also that has an order to it. Ditznan, we learned in the Mishnah. Ko ma'ase yom ha'kippurim ha'amurim al ha'seder. Ve'im hikdi ma'ase l'chavero lo osav lo klum. So, if the Kohen Gadol would do the avoida in a different order, then it would be ma'akev, right? There's nothing happening. Ve'idoch, ay. So, Rav Huna, why don't you count this one? Sahu chumra ba'alma. No, that's only, it's a chumra. And it's technically, you're right, it would be ma'akev, but that's because the Torah itself, you go through the Pesukim in Parshas Achrei Moses, it tells you what order it has to be done. Rav Huna b'Reid, Rav Yehoshua Omar Af Seder Tomin. Even by the Korban Tomin Shel Shachris, Korban Tomin Shel Ben Harbayim, that also would be Ma'akev. The Ketani Allah, Zehu Seder Tomin. This is the order of how you do the Korban Tomin. Ve'idach, Rav Huna, you don't quote this, so what are you going to say? He'll answer you back, Hahu l'mitzvah ba'alma, meaning that's the preferable way of doing it, but if you didn't do it in that order, then it was not going to be ma'akev. Lafuki mitzvah chalitza. And Rav Huda excludes the whole mitzvah, the din of chalitza, ditznan. Again, yesterday's parsha. Mitzvahs chalitza, how do you do the mitzvah chalitza? Bohu v'yavimto lifnei beizdin. So he comes with his deceased brother's wife, they come to the Beis Din. Hayinostin lo eitza hahogendislo. So then they tell him what is the proper thing. What's the good eitza? Should you do yibum with her? Or should you do chalitza with her? Right? Shneimar, as the pasuk says, vakru lo zikne iro v'dibro elav. So the dibro elav, they're speaking to him. They're telling him. They're giving him an eitza as to what to do. So then, if they decide, in fact, they're going to do chalitza, the heel maris, then she says, me'en yavomim, right? My brother-in-law refuses to build up his brother's name, v'hu omer, and he says, lo chafatzi l'kachto, I don't want to take her. I don't want to marry her. V'loshen hakodesh hayu omrim. And they say this over in Loshen hakodesh, which is obviously Hebrew. So there's a famous tshuva from Rav Moshe. We hear a lot of discussion when people talk about what's the correct way to pronounce Hebrew, Lashon Kodesh. So here, if it has to be said Lashon Kodesh, so you have to, L'chore, you have to pronounce Lashon Kodesh correctly. So I think, at the end of the day, the scholars seem to point out that the Taimanim have the most accurate Masorah. I think Lamaisa, they were left alone for 2,000 years, whereas we, who are not so fortunate, we were influenced by our surrounding cultures. You know, you even find this within different musical systems for Hadalein, that the Ashkenazim are certainly influenced by Western musical thought, and the Taimanim are, or Sephardim, I should say, are more the Arabic musical systems, you hear that in the laning itself. But in terms of actually speaking Lashon HaKodesh, Sir Moshe has a tshuva. It's here in Chelek Gimel, Or Chaim Chelek Gimel, it's Simen Hey, right? Be'inyin Shina Havoros Im Yechol Neshanos Alo. So in the context of that tshuva, whether you're allowed to change from one pronunciation to other, Sir Moshe says at the end of the day, there's no milas, they all are on the same level. He says, "De'im lo kein nimsus shechalitzos d'sho hasfardim pasulos l'didon." Right? If they would come out, so if a svardim is going to pronounce Hebrew using his pronunciation, we'd be pasul for an Ashkenaz. L'chitut shalanu, meaning us Ashkenazim, pasulos svardim. Shlomatzinu dover kizeh. Right? Right? L'chein mashma sheshtei havoros kasherin. Right? There's no mila necessarily one over the other, Ashkenazis versus Sephardim. Okay. Then continue, but that, again, that's the discussion here, because chalitza, we know, is one of the things that has to be done in Lashon HaKodesh, regardless of how one pronounces it. And again, even if there's a segment of Klal Yisrael that pronounces Hebrew in a certain way, that's as Moshe is halachically called Lashon HaKodesh. Okay, then the pasuk says, V'nigsha yevimto elav le'eni hasakinim v'chaltzov na'alo v'yarko befonov. Right, the Yevama comes close in front of the zakenim, takes off the shoe and spits in front of him. Broke hanir le dayanim. It has to be a large enough amount that dayanim could actually see it. The ons of Amr, she says, kach yes eliish. This will be done to the man who doesn't want to build up his brother's house. The nikra shemo be Yisrael, and his house will be called the one who has had the shoe removed. Amr of Yehuda, mitzvah chalitza. The mitzvah is like this. Chalitza goes like this. Korah, first she says the psukim, the korei, and then he says it. Choletzes, Yorekekes, she takes off the shoe, she spits, V'kor, and then she says the last pasuk as well. V'havinam bo, and we said on this, my kamashman, what's the chiddush? Masnisani, it's a Mishnah. No, ha kamashman, the chiddush is like this. Mitzvah hochi, this is the way to do it, meaning the proper way of doing it. V'i'efach, but if you switched it around, then that's not a problem. Leis lombo, it still counts. Tanya nami hochi, have a braisa. that supports this idea, bein shehikdim chalitza l'rakika, whether they did the chalitza before the spitting, or rakika l'chalitza, whether they did the spitting and then the chalitza, masha also osui, what's done is done, and the chalitza counts. Lafuki minho, sort of, who knows halacha about that the order is only significant also, is to exclude the following case, ditznan. Kohen gadol mishamesh b'shmona kelim. Right, the Kohen Gadol does his avoda wearing 8 garments, a hedyet barba, and a Kohen hedyet wears 4 of them. Pekasones, umichnasayim, umitznefes, va'avnet. That's like the clothing he wears is the kasonis is like the tunic, right? The mechsam of the pants, the mitznefes is the headgear, and the avnit is the gartel, is his belt. Most of them Kohen Gadol, but the Kohen Gadol has 4 more. Choshen, he's got the breastplate, the ephod, I don't know how to translate that. Me'il is like for the chest, the robe, the tzitz, and the head plate that goes across, right? So in this order, though, the Mishnah says that what's put on first, the kasonis, right? Vitanya, we learned in a brisa, minayin shelo yehei dover koydim lemichnasayim. You can't put anything before the pants. Shneimar umichnasei bad yu al besoro. That the pants which are made out of linen should be on his basar, on his flesh. Right. So that sounds like that the pants come first since they're there. But that's not the order which the Mishnah said. So Tanya, my time achdim la kisonis. What's the reason why the Tana first says the kisonis? Mishum da akdu me kra, because the pasuk said it first, right? Okay, well then the question continues. For kra my time da akdu me. So why did the pasuk say it first? Mishum de mechasya kula gufe adifale, because it's the best, because since it covers its entire body like an inyan of tznius, so then that's why the Torah itself wanted to mention it, even though the mechnasayim go on first, but it's mentioned in the out of order because you know that only covers the lower part of the body, whereas the kisonis covers the entire part of the body. Just wanted to try to get in one vort in the Sefer Biri Chassidus. So it was talking about the achin and the rakin, right? So back on the Amud Aleph, Dorish ze nimsa b'Yushalmi. This is in Yushalmi at the end of Brachos. Achim v'rakim me'utin, osim v'gamim ribuyim. So we have an ach and rak are always used as to be memait, to lessen it. The es and gam always coming to be marbet, to teach, to add more. Sipirushim. This is quoted from the Agra Dekala. Hachai, a living person, a nimsa, tomid b'tenu, who's constantly moving, who moli told us, he gives birth and has offspring. Lumoso hameis, but in contrast that the mace, she'ena b'tenu, is not moving, ena moli, won't produce anything. Kasher, tamudu shah, odam, when a person's learning Torah, ena b'yagia, but there's no real effort involved. Bechius, his orus, with arousing himself, learning with a geshmak, el bechinas achim v'ratin, but his learning is only with an ach, and a rak, it's being memait, ena moli told us he won't produce anything from that type of learning. He won't be able to learn up the sugya correctly to come to the correct conclusion. He won't be able to say chidushi Torah. But when a yid learns with a chiyus, with an excitement, with a geshmak, yigia v'hislavus, he's with effort and with enthusiasm. Bechinas esin v'gamin ribuin. Then it becomes like an esin and gamin. Es and gamin, it's marbid, increases. Hu marbid l'chadish chidushim v'lifso kolocha l'amito shatar. In that way, when you learn with the geshmak, that you'll be able to be m'chadish Torah and to learn correctly. And that's what we daven for. V'hera of Noah, we ask a special bracha by Birkas HaTorah that we should have a geshmak in the learning. And then Amir Tashem, our learning of the Daf Yomi should be done in such a way that it's with the chias and with the gishmak. Okay, we'll stop here for today.